So we thought rather than have an Australian preach on Australia Day, we have an African preach on Australia Day. And so as Christian comes, let me tell you, there's some people are Christians, but when you call Christian, you are a real Christian. And so it's great to have Christian and Jondre and the kids with us. And Christian has a background in Africa of pastoring, preaching, teaching. So I'm really excited to hear what he's got to say today. So let's bless him with a warm welcome.
Yeah, no one works on Australia Day, not even the pastor, eh? So instead of an Australian preaching to you on Australia Day, you get a Christian preaching to you, okay? So, we're going through the Bible. I got John 3, verses 1 to 21. That's a nice creek right there. Is that one? Okay. Don't worry, I'm going to move up and down anyway. I cannot stand still. And just before this, at the end of John 2, we have Jesus cleansing the temple. So just imagine going through the story. You have Jesus cleansing the temple. He goes and sits down.
From John 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to see Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The winds blow where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Okay, so at least what she said is true. Now you get my stuff. So I've heard of so many people giving John to new believers or even unbelievers to draw them close to God, because this is where we want them to get to, right? This is the verse. This is it. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." This is what we want to get them to, right? But have you read the verse just before it? "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted, that whoever believes may have eternal life." If you've never heard of Christianity or the Bible, and you read that, you'll be extremely confused. So John is a terrible book to give a new believer. Give him Mark. Mark's great. There's a lot of and immediately, because it's written for unbelievers, people who haven't met Jesus yet. John is different. John writes his book more thematically. He puts the cleansing of the temple right here at the beginning of the Bible, or of his book, because he wants to juxtapose, that's a fancy word for you, he wants to compare this cleansing of the temple with Nicodemus. And when he writes thematically instead of systematically, going through the whole story from the start, going through to the end. So John is more concerned with the essence of who Jesus is. When you read John, you meet Jesus the person. You see a real person. You see someone that gets angry. And you see someone that loves. And you see someone that cares. And it's an amazing view of Jesus. But like I say, it's meant for believers. And so John takes liberties with his story. And when he writes the story about Nicodemus, he immediately compares the night and day. What does Jesus do? He cleanses the temple. When does he do it? In the day. He's not afraid for people to see what he's doing. He wants people to know that he is the one doing that. He didn't go at night and steal their tables and hide it so the next morning they're like, oh, we can't change the money today. No. He made a statement. He did it in front of everyone. And that night, we have Nicodemus coming to him. What do you do at night? You do things you don't want people to see. Huh? Nicodemus didn't go up to him during his whole thing, throwing out the money changers. Jesus, you're doing some good stuff. Can I talk to you? No, he went to him when he was away from everyone, when he was on his own. So Nicodemus comes up to him, and he's a member of the Sanhedrin. Now, the Sanhedrin were the judges. They were the leaders of the Israel as a nation. They were the judges. If you had a problem, you came to the Sanhedrin, and they would decide whether your cause is worthy, whether you suing your friend will work, or suing your enemy, or whatever. And so Nicodemus sees that Jesus has something. And whether Nicodemus saw the same hypocrisy that Jesus saw and thought, hey, it's got a point. Or whether Nicodemus saw Jesus and he's like, oh, this man has something that I want. Either way, he's there, and he has some questions. So just imagine this conversation from our perspective. He comes to him and says, Jesus, we know that you have come from God and can't do these signs on your own. It's very interesting that he says, we know, because he's there alone. He didn't come with a whole group of people. He's there on his own. But he says that we know. And Jesus tells him, now, there's no question in that. There's just a statement. We know you can't do these things. And then Jesus says, well, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, if you're Nicodemus, you'd be like, huh? How can I be born again? And then Jesus says, you have to be born of water and spirit. Only spirit can enter the kingdom of heaven. Flesh is flesh and spirit is spirit. And Nicodemus goes, huh? And I'm glad he's confused because I'm confused as well. It is a very confusing statement. And Jesus is talking about the spiritual birth that we go through, that moment where we say, okay, I'm going to lay down my life and I'm going to take up this cross and I'm going to be a Christian. And that's an amazing moment in any Christian's life. And I hope each one of you can remember that moment. If you haven't, we're going to talk about that later. But so often we get caught up in that moment of our spiritual birth. And we hold on to that instead of this continuing walk. Because what happens when you're born? You're a cute little baby. Love babies. I always steal other mum's babies. And I don't take them home. I give them back. But I'd get so annoyed if my son stayed a baby. He's a little busybody. If you have saw him running around here somewhere. I think my wife's left. Okay. And kids grow and they're great and they get more fun. And eventually my kids will have their own families as well. And that's what I want for them. That's what God wants for us as well. So don't stand still at the beginning. Now, I get annoyed by breaks in the Bible. And don't know about yours, but mine has this really annoying break there at between verse 15 and 16. So it looks like a separate conversation. It looks like verse 16 is just this separate entity from his conversation with Nicodemus. And I love that Matt included the whole pericope into one part. And so we just go right through and continue this conversation with Nicodemus. And we get to this great verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And then Jesus, now if Jesus says, for God gave his only son to save the world, that means there's a possibility that you cannot be, that you can lose that eternal life. So that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So there's a condition. There's a condition for this eternal life, and that is that you should believe in him. It's not because of what we do, but just believing in what he did. And Jesus goes on, and he explains this judgment in verse 19. So he says, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. Now, we already have in John 1, John talking about Jesus. In John 1, verse 4, he says, in him was life, and the light was the light of men. And John 1, verse 9, he says, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. So that's why John is comparing the two. Nicodemus coming at night, Jesus in the day. Jesus is the light, and he's the whole time comparing the two, putting the two against each other. That, and Jesus loves getting in arguments. Jesus loves getting people upset. Constantly. He's not afraid to make people upset with the truth. He doesn't want to hurt people. But the truth always shines through. And Nicodemus is talking to Jesus, and he's hearing some stuff that is making him uncomfortable. Jesus tells him, listen, you're supposed to be the spiritual leader of this people. You don't know what I'm talking about? How are you going to help the people if you don't even know the earthly things I'm telling you about? Things you're supposed to know. So the whole time there's this fight, this conflict, darkness, light. And this judgment he gives in 19 is that the light will come, and the people who love the light will move closer to the light, and the people who love darkness move away from the light. Now imagine if we had a nice big light over here. Imagine this whole place was dark. If you love the light, where are you going to go? Over there. Moths are a great example. Huh? Moth will find a flame. Oh, turn that off. Ah, better. If you love the light, you're going to move closer and closer to the light. But the closer I move to the light, the more you can see of me. The more of me is exposed. If you don't want people to see you, this is a terrible place to be. If you're hiding stuff, if you have stuff you don't want people to see, you're going to move as far away from that as possible. In fact, you're going to find a place to hide. You're going to find a place where none of the bad things are seen. And this is what we're doing. we are choosing where to stand. We are choosing where to move to. And you are not standing still. You are always moving. The question is, are you moving closer to the light or are you moving further away from the light? Now, before I went to England, my dad was giving me this whole lecture of things to do, like, don't do this, don't do that. And I told him, it's too late now. I'm 18. Whatever you've given me has either stuck or it hasn't. And I came back and I told him, listen, I always knew what the right thing was to do. I always knew. Doesn't mean I always did the right thing. But I always knew which steps would bring me closer to the light and which steps will take me further away from the light. Now, this analogy is similar to that analogy of the sheep and the goats in Mark, is it 26? Matthew 26. And you're either moving closer to light or further away. And the separation is happening now. Now, the goats and the sheep, that's way easier for us to understand. Some people are goats, some people are sheep, and they will be separated. That's easy to see. But here, there's a whole spectrum, right? There's far away, and there is close. Thing is, this is not what's saving you. I loved John's sermon when he was talking about what we do isn't what matters. It's what Jesus did that matters. So me moving closer to the light is not what's saving me. The thing that saves me is this belief in what Jesus did. But because I believe that he has already saved me, I am now either moving closer to him or I am moving further away from him. If I love the light, I will move to it even if it exposes me. If I love the light, even though sometimes it may hurt for people to see that part of me that I don't want people to see, I will still move there. No matter how much it hurts, no matter who sees what, I will keep on moving towards the light. And I love that the kids are already in the light. Because Jesus tells us to love these little ones. And you have things you don't want people to see. You have things you want to hide. You may want to hide the mess your kids are making. But if I move towards this light, eventually I will be in his love. Because that's what this light is. This light is the love of God. This light is how much he loves every single one of us. And he loves us completely. And he knows all the things you want to hide. He knows that. He knows you, and he still loves you. He still loves me. Despite all my mistakes, despite all my shortcomings, he still loves me completely. There's not a single person, you can turn on the lights. It's not a single person that God wants to lose. It's not a single person he looks at like, you can go. No, it's fine, I don't want him. No, every single person God looks at with love. God looks at with compassion, caring, and forgiveness. And it's just whether I am accepting that. And once I accept that, that will determine my direction. moving closer to the light, moving away from the light. Nicodemus heard this. And he went away changed. Because we see Nicodemus again. We see him two other times in John. Nicodemus goes, and Jesus is brought before the Sanhedrin, and they're grilling Jesus and making accusations. And Nicodemus, in 7 verse 50 to 52, is the one who stands up for Jesus. He says, is it right for us to do this? He stands up in front of everyone, in front of all the people he knows want to kill this man. He stands up. If you're the first one standing up, it's really hard. But he does. He stands up. Eventually, they put Jesus to death. And he's dead. And they take his body away. Who brings the spices and the special embalming fluids for him? It's Nicodemus. He brings 34 kilograms of embalming fluid. Now, that is overkill. You do that for royalty. Nicodemus knew that there was something in Jesus, and he wanted to honor Jesus for the king that he was. He didn't know that he was still king. He still missed a part of it. He didn't listen to that thing that Jesus will be raised up. But he got something. And Nicodemus started making choices. And his choices led him closer to Jesus. Now, if Nicodemus, we don't read about Nicodemus again. But I can imagine him hearing about Jesus being raised from the dead 3 days later. I imagine him being in that crowd of people, seeing Jesus raised up into heaven and going away even more changed than he's already been. And constantly moving towards that light. This week and for the rest of your life, you're going to be faced with choices. And your choices are either going to move you closer to the light or further from it. This light exposes. And the people who did good deeds came closer to the light. Because they didn't do anything good because they were good. The only reason they could do good things is because Jesus helped them do those good things. I want you to go away this week with that thought. Am I moving closer to the light? Or am I moving further? And you might be sitting here and think, man, I'm not even on the spectrum yet. I haven't even started making choices yet. I want to encourage you to make that choice today. After I pray, come up and we will pray with you to make that choice. And this is a choice you only need to make once in your life. When I was 8, for 4 weeks straight, I went up front because they were having altar calls. And after the 4th week, my dad was like, what are you doing? I said, well, I kicked my brother this week, so I need Jesus again. It's like, no, that's not how it works. You made the choice, you're fine. Just make a better choice next time. That choice is to believe that Jesus already did for you what you cannot do for yourself. And that he loves you completely. And make, like we tell our kids, good choices. Close your eyes. Lord, thank you for what you have done for us. Thank you for your amazing gift. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the light that you shine in our lives. Thank you that you give us a beacon to move towards. God, I pray that you will help us to move closer to you. That you will help us to see more of you. And God, I pray that you will help us be willing to expose the things that we want to hide, the things we want to keep secret. God, I pray that you will give us your love and mercy, and that we will shine that light that you shine in our lives into other people's lives, that we will be the lights in the world, and that people will see your love through the things that we do, and that we can bring more people to you, so that this church will stand up as a beacon in this area, a light beacon for all to see, and that everyone will know the love of God is here and it's different. I pray that in your beautiful name, Jesus. Amen.